The Blazers Edge Podcast with Dave Deckard.
I'm a little distracted. I think the Blazers are still scoring on Denver.
And Phil Nasons.
Man, that was a beatdown. I knew that they would win big, but I didn't think that big. And they are still scoring. You can hear the balls bouncing in the background. And you can hear the voice of Bill Shonley saying, Rip City, welcome to the Blazers Edge Podcast. My name is Phil Nasons, and I'm the co-host of this weekly Portland Trail Blazers-based show sponsored by The Blazers Edge. That's blazersedge.com. Heard daily on Max Sports channels. We're also on iTunes, and we want to thank you for the reviews that you left. Please continue to do so. That's amazing. We are really thrilled about that. We're also on Stitcher.com. We're basically everywhere. And joining me to talk all about your Portland Trail Blazers, the Grand Poobah, the exalted Poobah, please welcome Dave Deckard. Dave, welcome to your own show.
Yes, we are everywhere, just like LaMarcus Aldridge. Just when you think we're gone, we're right back with you.
I didn't believe it when I saw it. I came over to Blazers Edge, and when I saw that you put it up there, I knew then that point that it was real, and I was very excited because I know how much he means to the Portland Trail Blazers. And I know how much he means to their fans, and I was just thrilled for all parties that day.
Yeah, it was one of the more interesting. I don't know if you want to say shocking, but I mean it was kind of shocking. It's just, you're preparing yourself for 6 to 8 weeks without LaMarcus Aldridge, going through all the calculations in terms of what that's going to mean, and all of a sudden he says he's going to play and. It's very interesting. We have an article up about it today. Mixed feelings, mostly good. I mean, you love his kind of heroic resolve, what it means to the team, what it means to what he thinks about the team is what I'm trying to say. You know, it's a show of confidence, not only in himself, but in his teammates. At the same time, being a Blazer fan, you can't help but worry because everything always goes wrong injury-wise for this team if there's half a chance. I don't know what happened last year. The injury bug was off drinking with his friend or something like that. He just didn't show up. But, you know, in the past, anything that has been able to go wrong has gone wrong for the Blazers. And so you reflexively worry about what this will mean long-term to Aldridge and really to the rest of the season if he has to change his mind and get the surgery after all. It'd be better to do it earlier than late. But all in all, it was quite a moment to see him suit up and to have him present for that Washington game. It was a big deal.
It was almost Willis Reedian.
Yes.
I like to get my Knicks references in each week.
Yeah, the Blazers have one too. Kevin Duckworth, San Antonio series in 1990, I believe it was. And the Blazers were going up against the Spurs, and he was injured, and this wasn't going well because those were David Robinson days. It was just tough. And all of a sudden, he comes back, makes his entrance in Game 7, and the Blazers win it. And it was quite the deal. So, yeah, you love that kind of thing. I mean, it makes for a great story and great feelings. You just hope it turns out well in the long run, as long as it does. Wow. You know, what an event and what a gesture for Aldridge to forego surgery to play out the rest of the year with his team.
To me, it says that, one, he's committed to the Portland Trailblazers team that he's currently playing on. The second thing it said to me is that he's committed to the franchise because he's willing to just risk a lot. This is a contract here. Let's not forget that. And third, he's just committed to the fans. I think he's going to be in a Portland Trailblazers uniform long term, probably for the rest of his career, and that's fine by me.
Yeah, and the other thing is that he believes that it makes a difference, not just in his personal play, but there's something to come back for this year. Which I think shows you the mindset of the team, that they're not messing around. They're looking to do something special right here and right now, and they're not willing to wait 3 or 4 years to get it done. So, you know, that's kind of a revelation in itself. The lid is off the expectation jar, so to speak. It's time to stop being calm about such stuff and stop being reserved and just say, yeah, the Blazers are going for it. The Blazers think that they can win a title or get close enough to have it not matter. So, yeah, if Aldridge thinks that way, well, I suppose the rest of us should start too.
Absolutely. Well, I have never stopped. But honestly, yeah, I just believe in this team. I love watching them play. I love watching how they play. I've watched every single game now except for one, the Memphis game. It's on my hard drive. I just haven't had time to watch it. But I love watching him play. And I was so sold on him, Dave, that I had in one of my fantasy drafts, and you know, I do this quite a lot. I had a high pick, a third pick, and I took LaMarcus Aldridge. I just believed that he was going to have this fantastic season, and he has not let me down. He's not letting his teammates down. You know, you wonder, though, what he watched or what he saw against Phoenix and Boston that made him think, you know something? I got to put this padded cast on and go out there and help my fellas, because we're going to lose a lot of places if I'm gone for 22 games.
Well, what he saw was pretty simple, I think. It was a guard-heavy offense, and Wesley Matthews and Damian Lillard were kind of hung out to dry. They were taking all kinds of shots and missing most of them because it's not their game to go one-on-one or to try to force shots over the defense. Lillard can do it somewhat, but he's much happier coming off a pick or just kind of juking someone for a single shot. When you start those miracle shots that win games, when those become second quarter shots and third quarter shots, that's not good. He's going to miss most of them. So you see 9 for 22 outings or 5 for 17 outings and them having to take more shots than they score points. They'll get, you know, 20 points, but they'll take 22 shots to do it. That's not Portland's offense. He also saw a defense that was atrocious in some ways, especially in Phoenix. Boston, they contained him a little bit, but that's half because Boston can't score. Basically, the guards needed help from the front court containing their men, and that help wasn't coming. And nobody was there to provide it because either the front court players who were left didn't have defensive chops or didn't have the experience to know where to rotate. And Aldridge just says, I guess I can't watch this anymore. I got to go out and fix it.
And fix it he did. Did you see the look on those young fellas' faces when they came out of the tunnel against Washington? It was a different looking team. You could see the look in their eyes. They were smiling again. It was pretty tough against Boston and against Philly. Or I'm sorry, against Phoenix. But Boston game, that just stunk. That was just bad luck more than anything else. But watching the game against Washington, watching LaMarcus play basketball again, being so tough and fighting through injuries – man, I don't even know what else to say. It was a lift to the whole team, and it was amazing to watch. I couldn't believe what I was watching. I thought – I really still didn't believe it. And then when I saw him come out, I was like, holy cow, they're going to beat Washington tonight. We're going to have a great show this week. That's what I thought.
Yeah, that's exactly right. This is a lot happier than a – what was it, a 1-2 week, something like that would usually be. But yeah, it just goes to show you, and we've been saying this all year, LaMarcus Aldridge makes all the difference for this team. You take him away, and this team might still be a playoff team if healthy, but they're nowhere near contention, and they're nowhere near really that special. And you put Aldridge on there, and all of a sudden the offense works, the defense works, the rebounding gets tougher. It's amazing the player he has transformed into. And this is what I mean. I think I said it a week or two ago that we've not seen this since the days of Bill Walton and Clyde Drexler, basically teams playing this together. And one team or one member of that team being the central hub, being such a critical difference to it, turning it from a decent team into really a contender.
I think if this happened a week sooner and Justin Bieber was watching this game, he would have tweeted out, vote for LaMarcus Aldridge for NBA All-Star, and LaMarcus Aldridge would be an All-Star.
Well, he ought to be an All-Star anyway. He'll certainly get named by the coaches. But yeah, that popular fan voting didn't end up too well. But, you know, you got to look at it from the NBA's perspective. They like casual fans. Casual fans make all the difference in the world. And obviously, there were some casual fans and some Laker fans voting for Kobe Bryant. It's the way it goes. And I think they'd rather have a slightly messed up all-star starting lineup and a few million more people watching than they would having the right guys in there and those few million people feeling less a part of the process.
Something that you said on my daily show that stayed with me even to this day, you said the disparity, how big the percentages are apart that LaMarcus and Damian too were from these guys that ended up being all-stars. That just blew my mind. It just peeled whatever hair I had left back. I was shocked. They just don't watch Portland play. Because if you watch Portland play, there's no way in the world that these guys are in eighth place and sixth place or whatever they were. No way.
Yeah, Aldridge is the big injustice there, of course. He ought to be second or third at least. But there's an old adage in show business, like leave them wanting more. And it's kind of nice to be the underrated players, the guys that should be a lot higher, that everybody's saying these guys got totally ripped off and they're going to make the all-star team anyway. So it's not like they were bubble players, just that these guys should be starting. Better to be that player than the player who gets voted in when he doesn't really deserve it and everybody's trying to move him down. So right now, Portland has that in spades, and they'll get a lot of credit, I think, among the people who know for what they're doing, and even more so since that's obviously being ignored among the general populace. So, you know, there are worse situations to be in. And, you know, that just means that if and when the Blazers do get really good and start making conference finals and finals appearances, that the public will be surprised, but the public will be more apt to view them with sympathy and consider them the underdog and a neat team to have wins. So, you know, it'll all turn out good. But, yeah, it's kind of harsh right now to see LaMarcus Aldridge's name below a few other people who are good but should not be on top of him.
He got less votes than Carmelo Anthony.
Well, yeah. you really want to get me started on it? Oh, my gosh.
I do. Yeah, I do, because we have a week off. I'm going to miss you very much. And plus, I'm just disappointed with this whole thing, really. I look at that. I tried really hard to get them voted in, too. I'm disappointed. I've let them down, and I feel bad about this. But Carmelo Anthony? Yuck. I don't want him in the All-Star game, period.
Yeah, you know, well, look at it this way. Aldridge led his team to a great win against Washington, and Carmelo Anthony has led his team to one great win this year too. So, you know, they're about even. So, you know, it's, you can see where people would get the two confused, but in any case, it's just, Anthony's obviously more of a one-on-one player, more of a stats guy. He looks like the worst signing in the universe right now. It was funny, 'cause I saw a Knicks stat, like, the Knicks were something like 0-10 or something obnoxious like that without Carmelo Anthony. And I was going like, what are they with Carmelo Anthony? They're about, what, 2-20? So yeah, 2-20. It's like it's only showing the one side of the story there. Yeah, I'm not a big Carmelo fan. Never really have been. So, you know, but what can you do? He's a popular guy. People know him. He scores a lot. He's going to be one of those reflexive votes for people.
Not me. I didn't vote for him, and I'm a Knicks fan. I didn't vote for any Knicks. None of them deserve it. I'm tired of watching them now. I don't want to watch them at the All-Star game, too. I can't see them. I can't watch them anymore. It's almost impossible, but I still do.
Sure. I feel that way about Kobe Bryant, too. Basically, the acidic slime coming off him should have burned a hole in the ballot all around his name. But
a Kobe fan either, are you?
Well, you know, I respect what he's done in this league. I don't want to denigrate his contributions, but right now that's over and done with. I mean, he's just kind of a walking joke at this point. And, you know, part of it is his teammates. I get that there's no one else to take shots. So he takes 50 of them a game. If I were him, I might do that too. But as far as being an elite basketball player, a winning basketball player, a world champion, those days are done. He belongs in the Hall of Fame, obviously, several times over. He will get there. He'll be considered in the conversation for, you know, one of the greatest players of all time. But there's no way in 2015 that his name should be mentioned among the league stars.
I think LaMarcus should enter the slam dunk competition, jump over a Kia, and then he'll get elected next year because that's the only thing that Blake Griffin's in there for.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's the one that fries my fritters the worst. It's just he's – Griffin, again, like him, have to respect him, but by what criteria do you put him in there? It's simply popularity. I mean, put him in there over Aldridge. Obviously, Griffin could be considered for the team, but it's one of those things where – people know him better. He has the commercials, and he plays in L.A., so he's going to get voted in over Aldridge, who I think is clearly superior and has done more with his team this year than Griffin could even begin doing. So, yeah, I mean, what are you going to do?
Jump over a Kia, dunk the ball, and get into the All-Star game as a starter. That's what I'm going to do next year. We're going to do this. LaMarcus, if you're listening, this is what we do. We go into the All-Star game, the dunk competition, jump over two Kias because we both know you can do it, and you can be an All-Star next year.
Well, pick a better damn car, though. I mean, why don't you just jump over a Vespa or something cool, some of those Portland bikes or something.
Yeah, there
jump
you go.
Over a bike rack. You're from Portland.
Yeah, but bike rack, yeah.
A Kia, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, could there be a more nondescript car? Like, I'm Captain Kia. Wow.
There goes our Kia sponsorship.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well, but you know what?
I wasn't driving one anyway.
Me neither. You know something? And I'm not disparaging any of those guys that I mentioned, but it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem fair. But LaMarcus probably doesn't even care. He's going to be on the team if he chooses to be. Now, what about the flip side with this injury? People say they hope that he doesn't re-injure it or injure it worse. I think those things have all been considered, though, probably, right?
Well, I'd assume so. Otherwise, there's some really gross negligence going on. But it's not fair to really accuse or speculate about that until it actually happens. But I assume LaMarcus knows he has to ink a deal with his thumbs this summer. And I don't think he's going to risk, nor would his agent let him risk his career coming back for a few months in the prime of his career in order to have a shot in the Western Conference that's really stacked up. And they might not win it anyway. It just doesn't add up that they're not thinking about this. And should there be any serious chance of him making his thumb worse, I believe he wouldn't be here. So you have to assume that. The key, though, more than re-injuring it or injuring it worse, rather, is changing his mind. And there's no more ideal time short of the offseason for him to have that surgery than right now. You have the All-Star break for him to rehab in. It may seem small, but the Blazers just got a game in Brooklyn postponed and put off until April, which he would be back for if he had had the surgery already. So they've got a gift of like a free week and a free game. And it would be a smart time to do it if you have to do it. You don't care if he doesn't have to do it. Having it in the offseason is better. But if he does have to do it, he should get it done like yesterday so he can get back as soon as possible, take advantage of the break, and just miss as few games as possible. That's what you worry about, I think, is the timing more than the severity of the injury.
Well, I'm not worried because I don't think he is. I think he knows what he's doing, and that's a great thing. It's going to be an interesting week, though, coming up. You mentioned the Blizzard postponed the Brooklyn game. That'll be made up later. Cleveland, Wednesday night. I wanted to go so badly. I even have a media credential to do so, but I can't because I have to do something else. And that sucks because I really wanted to be there to watch Portland beat Cleveland.
Yeah, well, it'd be an interesting couple of road games here, Cleveland and Atlanta. Obviously it's tough when you talk about the Cavaliers and you know, LeBron James, you never want to sleep on. I mean, it's just impossible. No matter what else is going on with him, he's still pretty much the best player in the game when it comes right down to it. The Blazers beat the Cavs earlier in the season, so the Cavs owe them. So that'll be an interesting matchup. And then the reverse happens in Atlanta. Atlanta handed Portland their lunch in the Moda Center, and that doesn't happen very often. I mean, it just literally they shellacked them. And the Blazers aren't used to that. It'll be interesting to see what kind of fight Portland comes out with, because it looked for all the world like Atlanta had their number, had them solved. And the blessing here is that they've got a day off between those two games. So if you have a rough outing in Cleveland, you have time to prepare. It would be an awful bad back-to-back. But you don't want to go through these two games in any situation. But on the road, wow, it's a tough one.
Well, Cleveland has a tough one tonight against Detroit, and then they have to play against Portland on Wednesday. I don't think it's going to be that difficult. They've been sitting LeBron on these back-to-backs a few extra minutes every night, too. Maybe they won't against Portland, but I don't see that Portland's going to have too much trouble with Cleveland. They shoot a lot of threes, though. Kevin Love is finally shooting threes from the top of the key, and that Mozgov has made a big difference in their defense, but I still don't see them beating Portland. I think Portland's going to be hungry. They haven't played since Saturday. You know, they've had to deal with blizzards and all kinds of foolishness. They're going to be primed and ready to go after it. The Friday night game against Atlanta, though, Atlanta's the hottest team in the NBA for a reason. They're very good, and they don't have an all-star at all on their team. That's what's strange. But they play good team defense. That's the underrated part of Atlanta. To solve that riddle, they're going to have to slow the ball down and then kill them inside. I think they can do that, though. I think they can pay them back.
Well, there's the problem with both games is that when the Blazers beat Cleveland before, they were healthy. And Robin Lopez makes a huge difference in games like this because just his size, his presence, allows the Blazers to have, if not control of the boards, at least be secure on the boards, that they're going to be able to get rebounds and stay with the other teams. Chris Kaman has not provided that, nor does he provide defensive rotations that are alert and effective. So when you're able to bottle up the opposing, you know, big men and control the glass, you can control possessions. You can get more shots than the opponents. The Blazers like that. That could fall apart against one or both of these teams, and that's the issue. If they had Lopez back, I'd be feeling a lot better at this point about these games. And Atlanta, I'm not sure. Speed them up, slow them down. That defense was impressive. And it's not that the Blazers can't win, but boy, there's a team that has its act together. And they might be Portland East in that we don't pay a lot of attention to them. You know, even out in Portland, we're talking Blazers are doing great. Blazers are one of the best teams in the league. Blazers are such a team. Well, that's all true, but Atlanta is doing that and more in the Eastern Conference as well. And their defense is clearly amazing.
No, you're right about that. You know, I picked Atlanta to be the 3 seed in the East, and people flamed me for it. They didn't think that team would even make the playoffs, some people. They are a good defensive team, but they've also won 16 in a row at the time of this recording, or maybe it's 17 now. But they're due for a loss, and it might as well be against Portland. That's what I'm thinking. I'm hoping anyway.
Yeah, you're not allowed to win a quarter of the season in a row.
No.
I mean, that's
obnoxious.
That's going to break the scoreboard. So
that's obnoxious.
Yeah, I don't even know. I mean, Jeff Teague was great in that game. I mean, I just loved watching him. And Korver, obviously, always a threat. And I don't know. It's like everything that they do, it's so much more than the sum of their players. You can't point out. I mean, there's a reason that they didn't have anybody even close to All-Star consideration, as far as I recall, as far as being voted in, is that they've not, I mean, they're not winning with overwhelming talent with a Carmelo Anthony. It's a story the Blazers know well, except in Atlanta, it's like squared, because literally they have people that don't really make you sit up and take notice. Maybe Paul Millsap, kind of, but even he's not, you know, that striking. But everything they do together. Everything they do with energy. And everything they do is done in a system that takes advantage of their strengths and also takes advantage of opponent weaknesses. And that's just a really, really nice thing to see that was missing from this league for a long, long time. And it's nice to see Portland and Atlanta bringing it back.
Absolutely. And I'm telling you, this is going to be a fun game either way, but I'm going to go with Portland in this one. I told Chris Willis that the other day. I said, watch out for Portland. They're hungry too. So it should be a fun week, a really fun week of basketball. I think it's time to talk about our Blazer of the Week.
Blazers Edge Player of the Week.
Can there be anyone else?
Well, there's only one. LaMarcus Aldridge is who I
have. Exactly. We vowed not to say the same person to keep things interesting, but I think in this case we almost have to make an exception because it's LaMarcus Aldridge or nobody. I mean, other guys had big scoring weeks, but again, you look at those guards and 24 shots to get 22 points is not Portland basketball, and that's basically what they had to do without him. So it was only one game. It was only one appearance, but it was a huge one. It's got to be Aldridge.
And it was a 26-point night, too. I had people, when I shared the story that you ran about LaMarcus coming back, and one of my very good friends who knows quite a bit about basketball, he's also a tennis pro, he said, he's a big presence. They need a big man, but he's not going to be able to score. And I reminded him, hey, it's on his shooting hand or his non-shooting hand. He's going to light the place up tonight. And I was so happy to see that. And I know that the people in Portland were just thrilled by it. And I'm happy for them, too, because that was a tough few days for a lot of people when LaMarcus Aldridge went out. So he has to be our player of the week. You know, we don't usually tell each other who it's going to be, though. You usually can figure out who I'm going to pick, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's just, you've got to honor the guy. There's no other choice. I mean, let's put it this way. The Blazers have lost, 13 games all season. Five of those came in the last 2 weeks. They lost five out of six games without, and not all those were without Aldridge, obviously, but this is the situation that Aldridge stepped into. This team was really headed into a downward spiral. And it's one thing being beaten by the Spurs and Grizzlies, but when you barely edge out the Kings and then get beaten by the Suns, who score 118 on you, and get beaten by the Celtics, who turn the tables on you using your own last-minute luck to beat you, it really feels bad. And this team, playing Washington, playing Cleveland, playing Atlanta without Aldridge, could have gone into a really deep spiral. And Aldridge basically stuck one hand down and pick them up by the scruff of their neck, set them back on their feet, and said, "We're not doing this." And that's just indescribable, that the impact and the lift that Saturday game gave them.
Oh, yeah. And it gave us a good lift, too, for this liftoff, because we aren't going to be here next week.
That is true. We are going to step aside for 1 week so that you can hear the second edition of our weekly podcast, hosted by Chris Lucia. It's going to be a little bit different than Phil and I do, because Chris will have rotating guests, cover a little bit different topics, and it'll be a different look. And we are going to be running two podcasts a week from now on, not next week. Chris is going to take our slot next week, so you can get used to him. We'll feature him. And then after that, you will have a Tuesday version, probably a Thursday or Friday version. Who knows? Someday you may be listening to the Blazers Edge Network. But we love doing this, and we thought, hey, why not double our fun?
Why not? We wish them all the best. It's going to be a fantastic show. I think Chris is going to do a great job over there. He's going to bring a different view. and it's going to be fun. He's going to bring guests on, and instead of it just being me and Dave talking about the Blazers, he's going to have a lot of things happen. It's going to be great. You're going to enjoy it. And you can look for that next Tuesday. And then after that, he's going to jump in the following week and do a Thursday. Is that right?
Yeah, Thursday, Friday. We're not sure of the date yet, but obviously we'll publicize it when it comes out. It'll be 2 or 3 days separated from this one, so you'll be able to double your fun. And Chris, really, don't sleep on him. He does our previews. He's also my co-editor. If you have not read a Chris Lucier preview, they are fantastic. This guy knows his stuff. He is in full flower. It's funny because obviously Blazers Edge is in, you know, the first year of transition, a lot of new writers and what have you. So it's easy for people to get lost in the shuffle. But we've got some brilliant, brilliant young talent writing for us right now. And Chris is like basically item number one on that list. What he is doing with those previews and with his basketball knowledge and connecting with other people is just fantastic. So you're going to love the podcast. He's done them before for us, kind of took a little break, and now he's back along with us. So enjoy that. You're going to have a great time.
You certainly will. You know, you're speaking of the young writers and the new people that you have. I'm not so sure he's a new voice, but the young fellow who does the YouTube videos, the videos, I think Sam? Sam is fantastic.
Yeah, Sam is Sam. It's funny because he's distinctive, and you hear him and you go, okay, you know, like the first sentence you're going, all right, this guy, and then all of a sudden you're addicted to Sam. So it's pretty funny. Yeah, he's a great guy. I've worked with Sam quite a bit on the videos and had the pleasure of listening to him and talking with him. So yeah, Sam's great. Willie's great. Evans is great. You know, just obviously the Game Night crew too. Brian Renzi's now writing for us on Wednesdays. And our news crew is on top of everything. You know, those are all, it's really cool because those are all retirees, those news guys that you see putting stuff up. Those guys are retired. Some of our Game Night crew is in high school. We've got like an age range from here to the moon, and everybody's working together to make the site work. And it's a great, it's great effort, and it's great to see it starting to take off in terms of people are getting comfortable and people are really owning it. And it's great right now. You have no idea what it's going to be like in a year or two. It's going to be fantastic. So yeah, Chris moving back into his podcasting role is part of that as well. And we'll sure look forward to all the ways that the audio portion of our coverage is going to grow.
Man, you're going to make me want to go write for you now. I'm excited for what's going on at Blazers Edge. It's a fantastic website. I'm very happy to be a part of this show. I love doing it. Again, I want to thank you folks out there for those tremendous reviews. You're very kind, and we really appreciate them. I wanted to ask you something. I've been meaning to ask you this for about 3 weeks now, and I think I saw something at Blazers Edge about this, so let's do this now, I guess, before I forget. Trading Nick Batum, would you do that? Because I don't think that I would. I know that he hasn't been the same or performed consistently this season, but I still think that he's a big part of this basketball team.
Any trade question depends on who you get in return. I mean, you put Kevin Durant on the other end of that equation, and the answer is yes. But as far as trades that he could reasonably bring, I would say no. And I would say no because no matter how much the ball is going through Aldridge, Matthews, and Lillard right now, Batum is still a huge outlet. Batum still makes plays. Batum still plays defense and can get you some rebounds. And basically, you're not going to be able to replace that. You're not going to be able to find a small forward who can be a playmaker and a three-point shooter and a defender and a rebounder and who doesn't have to touch the ball in order to succeed. You know, put Carmelo Anthony on this team and you get a lot more scoring, but I think the offense goes to hell like right away because here's Wesley Matthews open in the corner begging for the ball and here's Carmelo taking a guarded 21-footer. So you have to be careful. Now, if the Blazers can bolster the roster a little bit behind Batum. Like, if they had gotten Jeff Green, we might be able to have this conversation a little bit more. But you'd probably still want to have it in the offseason. I don't see any way they trade him before the deadline, short of an absolutely fantastic deal. It's just, it would mess with the chemistry. They'd have to readjust too much. Sure, the Blazers would adapt. But then what is Aldridge coming back for if this is a season that you're just adapting through? I think Batum is too much a part of what this team does and the team's identity. And I think any trade talk has to wait at least until the summer.
Yeah, I agree. I think it has to stay there for the chemistry alone. Maybe I would do it if there was maybe a Wilson Chandler.
Yeah, Chandler is not quite Batum, but that kind of veteran all-around presence would not hurt. But we talked about this before a little bit. Darrell Wright is coming on, and he's played a few good games over the last month. I mean, more than a few. He's really filling in a lot of that role that you'd want a Chandler to fill. So you wonder if the Blazers haven't already got that at a cheaper price already on the roster. Now, if they were planning on trading Batum, then obviously you'd need more. But I'm not sure that they're actually planning on that. So I don't know. You may not exactly see a Chandler move. You know, I'm a big proponent and have been of getting a guy like Jermaine O'Neal, who can fill in 10 to 12 minutes in a big man role and brings you some insurance in case your centers get injured. There seems to be no buzz about that. All the talk from the front office, to the extent there is any, is about bolstering the backcourt. So I don't know. You get the feeling as the deadline approaches that the Blazers are slowly edging out of the trade picture rather than aggressively hopping into it.
Yeah, that might be right. The last I heard about Jermaine O'Neal is he's either going to officially retire or sign with Dallas. That's the last I've heard. Now, the last thing on my agenda today on the list, and it's the most important thing that we talk about at Blazers Edge, in my opinion, is Blazers Edge Night, Dave. It's coming up soon, March the 30th. There's still tickets available, and we would like to send young people to possibly their first ever Portland Trailblazers game and give them the gift of a lifetime, the gift being to be able to be a Portland Trailblazers fan forever. There's nothing like going to a real game. There's nothing like it at all. My first real game was against the Lakers against the Knicks, and Willis Reed came out of the tunnel. And I'll never forget that. I was 5 years old. What do you think now? March the 30th, Phoenix. It won't be the same thing, but you get to see one of the best basketball players in the NBA and LaMarcus Aldridge, and probably the toughest.
Hopefully. Well, for them, it'll be the same thing. I mean, you always remember your first game. I watched the Blazers win a title when I was very young with Bill Walton. And I had never been to see a game in person. The very next season, my dad worked for a company. They gave him tickets, but I didn't know that. And we pulled up to then the Memorial Coliseum, which was their arena. And I wondered what we were there for, because nothing good like that ever happened to me. I mean, I wasn't the lucky kid. We weren't the rich family. We couldn't afford tickets, basically. And I thought, well, we must be here for maybe it's the circus or maybe it's something else, because my parents didn't tell me. And we walked in and I saw the posters on the wall and stuff like that. And I thought, this is really cool. I'm in the building that the Blazers play in, still not connecting that I might be there for an actual game. And we walked in and I saw the basketball court down there on the floor and the baskets, and my jaw dropped. And I looked up at my dad and my mom, and they looked back at me, and I was just speechless, and they smiled and they nodded, and I couldn't believe it. That moment was something that I'll always remember. And that moment is something akin to what these kids feel like, because most of them don't have a lot of extras. A lot of them have very tough lives where basically it consists of going to school, putting your head down, walking back home, and keeping your head down. And if you get any extras, it's in the context of being in your home. You only get to share it with a very few people. And you have to be cautious and you have to be guarded about who you associate with and the things that you go out and do. For one night, they get to be a kid like I was. They get to walk in and see the floor. They get to see the scoreboard, and you watch when they come in and you can see their eyes and you could see their jaws drop. And it's, there's nothing like, even if you know that you're going there, there's nothing like that first moment of realizing that you are actually there and the arena is so big and there's so many other people there and you're there for the same purpose, which is to cheer on the team and do something good and become united as a crowd and to enjoy maybe a hot dog and a day out, which they don't get to do. That's an experience that's really worthwhile, and it becomes transformative in a lot of ways. We've heard from teachers and counselors and principals about how just the anticipation of this changes the kids' attitude, and the night itself changes the relationship between the kids and their teachers and the kids and the world. And for $13, I mean, that's what a ticket costs. We could have gotten you like $9 tickets, but they would have seen the Jazz. That wasn't as attractive. So we went for a $13 ticket this year, but for $13, it's what, maybe three cups of Starbucks coffee. You can have that transformation for a kid. And it's easy to do. Just click on the website right on this podcast, and you'll see the link. And we invite you to do that because it's huge.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I only meant what I meant by it is the drama of Willis Reed coming out of the locker room when we didn't think he was going to play. That's yep. what I meant. But yeah, everything that Dave said, I can co-sign. I mentor youths like that, and they would love to go to the Cavs in Portland. And I was trying to pull that off, and we weren't able to do it. But still, in all, it's a fantastic, worthwhile thing. Get out there. If you can afford to do so, do it, and you'll never forget it, nor will they. I tell you what, partner, today was a very good show, a much more upbeat show than last week's.
Well, we'll just keep LaMarcus Aldridge healthy enough to play, and then we can have upbeat shows all the time.
So. Exactly, exactly. Now, we will be back in 2 weeks. Next week, Chris will be here, and he will probably make us work a lot harder because he's fantastic. Until then, Dave, thank you so much for being on your own show.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure to be here with you, Phil.
Thank you, sir. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Blazers Edge podcast. Don't forget that we are on iTunes. We're also on Stitcher.com. We're on Max Sports channels at 7:30 p.m. every single day. Chris will be here next week. Make sure you show him some love. Until then, he's Dave Deckard. I'm Phil Nasons. Rip City!